again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with Program 80 in a 260-part series dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years, the WHKP years. We follow the same format used with the great Frank L. Fitzsimmons for 25 years, so we call this, then, simply, Where Fitz Left Off. And we left off yesterday remembering the fantastic contributions of Uncle A.F. Baker and how he was so far ahead of his time in professional photography. Today I'm going to recall again some words I used here on the station on August 29th, 1995. We call that The Last Barber on Main Street. My first recollection of barbers was not from portraits or camera products. It was the bookshop. When I was in the elementary grades, the state provided no textbooks. It was up to the student to procure their own. And thank the good Lord for Ferry Barber. He not only sold new textbooks for those who could afford them, but he accepted used books in trade, and these were sold to young people like me. The Barber family was an institution. Ferry Barber, head of the clan, good businessman, dedicated community servant. Ferry Barber fathered A.F. Jr., Unc Barber. Don, who achieved fame over the entire state with his professional photography, and Jody, my age, who would run the camera in the card shop. When Jody and Louise Bailey formed forces to publish the pictorial history of Henderson County, this was a real milestone. Anytime you acquire a brand new book, especially if it has pictures in it, you race through it on the first go-around just to see the pictures and all the joys that await. I saw a picture of the Reverend N.B. Phillips baptizing congregates in Highland Lake. It brought back memories of the Reverend Phillips when he first came to the radio station to do morning devotions. Mr. Phillips came in, sat down in a chair over in the corner of the room. When I gave his introduction, I simply assumed he would go to a microphone, but he didn't. I frantically waved for him to move over to the mic. He totally ignored me. As a last resort, I raced into the studio and the mic in front of him, and after the broadcast, he nonchalantly walked into the control room and said, "Young man, my job is to preach. Yours, apparently, is to broadcast. Let us never confuse these responsibilities again." When looking through Jody and Louise's book, which is now in its second printing and is again available at Carolyn's Bookshop, I saw a picture of the Jan Garber Orchestra playing for the dedication of the city reservoir on Ewart's Hill. Jan played regularly at Laurel Park Pavilion, but to play for the opening of a reservoir? Looking at the picture of the old federal building, the old post office, the corner of 4th and Church, can you imagine when this building was built back in 1918, employees would come to work early to take a shower? Very few homes back then had inside plumbing. In all the pictures Jody selected from the thousands in the Barber collection, there was one of the old Wilson Drugstore on 7th Avenue East, where at Christmas in 1941, I bought my first Evening in Paris cosmetic set. You can't buy Evening in Paris anymore. Nor will you identify that wonderfully distinctive smell of the old-fashioned drugstore, the odors fanned out onto the street by the paddle wheel fans. But who knows, maybe heaven is not a humongous and sterile Walmart, or a conglomeration of non-merchant storekeepers and stock clerks in a commercial environment totally devoid of personality of character. I think they call those places malls. Maybe heaven will be strolling down a main street and wandering into a Woolworth or a McClellan's 5 and 10, or stopping in at a Patterson's and joying with Ed or Doris or Walter Drake about something other than an Era shirt or a Dobbs hat. I think back in August 1995 I said on that salute to Jody, "Jody, wouldn't it be great if we could try one last time to find a pink center and a penny mint, which would win for us a huge nickel mint at the Florida fruit stand, or watch them make ice cream at Carson's Bluebird Ice Cream Store, second at Main?" Part of the frustrations that impact America today, the faceless, irresponsible menagerie of people populating as employees the giant megamarts. Can you imagine what Uncle Baker or Ferry Barber would have said if they had overheard an employee of the store answer, "I don't know, I've only worked here a week"? I would love to have been around when Uncle Baker had finished with such an employee and then sent the manager packing back to Arkansas. Well, dreams of a seventh child of a seventh child. Lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave him with the job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.